Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Everyone, and welcome to the post-WrestleMania edition of The Wrap right here on Fight Game Media Network via YouTube. It is the Raw after WrestleMania, the most important Raw of the year, and we're back here for our third live stream in a row, breaking our own record to wrap up a very special WrestleMania weekend. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Von Wagner. I bring to you back to The Wrap, as always, one more night, fresh as a baby face, before he retires this moniker for the next year. I bring to you the one and only WrestleMania Scott Young. Hello, WrestleMania Scott.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. Third night in a row, third good show in a row. Dare I might say this might have been on par with night one of WrestleMania, but this was a great follow-up, a great main event to cap it all off with. And as we'll talk about, I just thought a lot of the little things that they did throughout this show made it feel just a bit more special than normal.
Yes, I think this was very indicative of the Triple H era kicking off officially via this episode of Monday Night Raw, a very special event going down live from a sold-out Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, another record-breaking gate on top of the record they broke just last week in Brooklyn. They had a record gate for SmackDown this past Friday as well. Strong ratings for SmackDown going up against the most watched women's basketball game ever until yesterday, which was the most watched women's basketball game. And not only that, the most watched basketball game, period, whether it's NCAA, the women's and men's tournament championship, or the NBA in the last five or so years. That is absolutely insane. And for WWE to hold their own against some very stiff competition is very impressive.
Yeah, it just goes to show, you know, it's probably a lot of people like me, multiple TVs. You know, you had one screen for the game, you know, got to watch Caitlin, and then one screen for SmackDown. So I think it just, and same thing tonight, you know, multiple screens, had the national championship on one, then had Raw on the other one. So I'm sure you had a lot of that going on, but it just goes to show when you have people, wrestlers, stories, titles, when you have things that people care about and they want to see, and it's just, it's almost can't miss right now. Like, they are on a hot streak, and going into this now to these international PLEs, I think they're going to continue this and keep building off of this.
Definitely. And a lot of international shows coming up for WWE. There is one domestic PLE going down in Cleveland for SummerSlam, but otherwise every show this spring and summer for a PLE is outside of the United States of America. So it's really a global event for WWE going here, there, everywhere to promote the company. And as we found out during the last week of April, Scott, we're going to have the 2024 WWE draft. Before we get into tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw, how do you foresee the format of the draft going? Since this is a new day in WWE, I think that the presentation is going to be way more sports-like, akin to maybe the NFL draft, maybe the NBA draft, but I think it's going to be more professional and sports presentation versus the sports entertainment of it all by WWE in years past.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see some war rooms with each GM having some people having teams ready for them. And, you know, when somebody gets drafted, you can maybe show a clip of them being upset about it. And I could definitely see them doing more like that. NXT being involved. I hope that they're really involved and we see some main roster people move down for a while. We've seen it do wonders for Baron Corbin. Natalya's done fine down there. Becky Lynch went down there and did good. So we've seen what the main roster can do, especially when they get fully ingrained and they start getting put into stories. And it'll be cool to see some of these NXT people come up like we saw tonight on Raw. So I'm hoping that my biggest hope out of all of this is that NXT is a real player in this draft and, you know, not somebody that is only drafting on WWE.com and stuff like that, or only getting the free agents and that type of thing. I'd like to see each brand get a pick, you know, and NXT get a pick and go after some top names. You know, if you need to pick your champion, you better pick your champion, you know, whatever you need to do. So that's my biggest hope. I want NXT to be a real player this year.
I think so. Ava being backstage with Nick Aldis and our guy, Adam Pearce, was a good look tonight to make
your
sure.
My guy,
Scrap Daddy Pearce, you know,
I'm
my guy.
Guy.
You're Nick Aldis guy.
Yeah, okay, I'm rocking with Aldis.
I love me some Scrap Daddy Pearce. So I like that she was on equal footing with those guys backstage, having those preliminary discussions about how the draft is going to go. And I hope that NXT is a player and that it is somewhere that you could go to, you know, get a new leash on your career. It has worked wonders for Baron Corbin. We've said that repeatedly on this show as of late. So I do love the prospect of people getting called down to NXT and getting called up from NXT as well. We saw some surprises via several NXT champions that showed up during the Raw after WrestleMania, and I'm digging the draft. The one thing I would love to see incorporated would be each brand being on the clock and having that countdown clock and then saying the pick is in. I would love that thread added into the draft. Give it that professional sports feel to make sure the stakes are actually there this time around.
Yeah, it's and little things like that are really going to be what's separated and keep it from being kind of the hokey, goofy thing that we had when Mustache was in charge.
Exactly. And one more thing is, you know, when they do the draft, they kind of break it down in rounds. First round is like night one. Round two is the second night, of course. And the rest of the rounds is for day three of the draft. So I don't want like a reset on Monday Night Raw. Let that be round two, three, four. Let's be fair. Like, let's not just try to say, well, each night. No, let's be real. Let's get your top heavy hitters drafted first. And then if you happen to come down the line day two, so be it. No need to reset to say, okay, these are the guys we want now. No, keep it in order. If you want your champions, get your champions. If you want your future main eventers, get them. And if you think somebody has fallen in stock value for the draft, then draft accordingly. Do a mock draft. In fact, I really want WWE to go all out and really make this sports like and leave all the hokiness behind from years past. No more video game stuff, no more three picks for Raw, two for SmackDown, and just picking at random for the hell of it. Make this unpredictable and make it count for something. If you're drafted late, so be it. There's a reason for that. How's your win and loss record going? What have you done for me lately in terms of the GM ultimately making these decisions for their shows?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the draft. Should be good.
Yes. So fingers crossed on that the presentation is much improved as we dive into tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw going down live from the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, sold out to close out a historic WrestleMania weekend. We start the show with the one and only Chief Executive Officer. Well, not Chief Executive Officer, Chief Content Officer, the boss, the head honcho in charge. Paul Triple H Levesque comes out to thank the crowd for an unforgettable WrestleMania weekend. I know they're probably going to drop the press release tomorrow morning or Wednesday detailing every record they broke, social media, Peacock viewership, tickets being sold, not only in the arena for SmackDown, Raw, and NXT, but of course, the two nights at the Link across the street in Philly. So I think that this is going to go down as, he said, the greatest WrestleMania of all time. I won't go that far, but based on what we got for night two, I will say it is definitely in the discussion as a top 10, possible top five WrestleMania of all time, with by far a top two all-time WrestleMania closing sequence?
Oh, I think night two is definitely top five. I think match quality, easy top five. If we're just talking match quality, I think it's easy top five WrestleMania all time. I mean, you got some WrestleManias that went on for 7 hours, so they're out. You got some WrestleManias that just had one good match, so they're out. And then you had some WrestleManias that were headlined by Triple H, and a lot of those didn't turn out too well, so those are out. Yeah, I think night two is an easy top five. And then when you talk about the moments that you had on it and that main event, that has an argument for the greatest main event that they've ever put on. I think there is absolutely an argument to be made that is the best main event that they've put on. And especially when you talk about star quality, the unexpected moments, just the story that they told, the moment of the reign ending. Absolutely. Easy top five WrestleMania. And I think it's an easy top three, maybe, closing match, if not the greatest WrestleMania main event of all time.
Yeah, and it was the post-match for me as well, because normally the cameras go off and you might get the documentary exclusive after everything is settled. But we got to see that live on Peacock. It wasn't cut out the show. We got to see the post-match celebration, got to see those moments with Triple H and Cody Rhodes and his family. That was very great, and it really pushed that main event over the top to make this quite possibly the best WrestleMania main event ever. I would go that far and possibly say that. I gotta kind of go back in my Rolodex and kind of go back through the WrestleManias. I've seen a lot in my time, and there have been some great ones. There's been some stinkers, and as you said, Triple H has been a part of some slow ass WrestleMania main events that overstay their welcome. But ultimately, I think this one would definitely go down in history as one of the greatest of all time when it's all said and done. As we lead to Triple H introducing the new undisputed WWE champion, the Universal moniker has been dropped as Cody Rhodes comes out to a tremendous ovation, another embrace for Paul Levesque and Cody Rhodes. And then we get this amazing video package that was put together by the crew in Connecticut post WrestleMania, and the turnaround work they do is incredible. They had the song Rise Up Audra Day, and it was 3 minutes. It was beautiful. It was touching. You saw the reactions from Cody, and it was funny because, you know, due to the house being oversold, they had to do, like, you know, the trunk down set for Raw and SmackDown and NXT, no big old Jumbotron. So they had these teeny monitors for people to see some of it. We had the big screen, it was up on there as well, but Cody had the little monitor to kind of see the video for himself. Beautifully done. He got very emotional about what he was seeing, and he is very proud to be the champion of the people, that the story is finished. He was very emotional throughout the promo, which I really enjoyed as well. The fans love him. They have been on this journey with him for the last 2 years. And I honestly believe that Cody's return to WWE at WrestleMania 38 in 2022 definitely changed the tenor in WWE. Yes, the mustache was still there, but you could feel there was going to be a shift for WWE, for better or for worse. And it felt like it was for the better. They still have some ways to go to completely remove themselves from that man. But I felt like the renaissance that Cody's been talking about, it was bubbling. And now it's really bearing fruit after WrestleMania.
Yeah, this is a... It's been building for a while, when he, you know, iced himself out of the title in AEW, to when he made his debut here, and he had just about as much momentum as you could have as a babyface going into last year's WrestleMania. So, you know, I've said it multiple times on this show, and I think the job that he's done, and, you know, creative, even creative to an extent, because they've made sure to keep him strong. For him to stay a babyface and to stay over with the crowd the way he has, that's a testament to him and just the story that he's told. Now, you know, now we're going to see what's the next part of your story. You know, what's part two? That was part one. That was the end of that story. You know, now we're going to go to your next book. So how does this next book go? What's your follow-up? But as far as where we are right now, he had a great moment. The crowd was all about him. Looks good with the title. Looks like a champion. Feels like a champion. Feels like the face of this company. There's a reason Roman was smiling as he got pinned. So this was a great moment.
Yes, and great respect from the fans as well, thanking Roman for 3.5 years of an amazing run as champion. I think that we will look back and say the Bloodline run for Roman is the most prolific thing he's ever done in WWE, and quite frankly, one of the best stories WWE has ever told for 3 years. It got a lot of people over in the process. Sami Zayn is IC champion for a reason, dating back to his work in the Bloodline a couple of years ago, building up to last year's WrestleMania, and then having having a nice bounce back via his victory over Gunther. So he's made a lot of people along the way. Jay, Jimmy, and now Cody's been made by this. The smile on his face was everything. And then even more so, there's been a lot of footage coming out from WrestleMania from fans that noted that when Roman is walking up the ramp, you could see the people that was here for Cody running down and not acknowledging Roman. And then when he got up to the top of that ramp, you saw him and Paul Heyman have that emotional embrace, because I felt like after 3.5 years, going on 4, a weight has been lifted off his shoulders. That after much teasing and what could have been last year, like, it felt like this year the pivot they had to do due to the people was right, and now he can rest, and now his next story begins, and we know where that's going to go ultimately. And I do feel in the next couple of years he will go from villain to a beloved babyface with a badassery to match.
Yeah, babyface is definitely the end goal for Roman.
Yes, for sure. So after Cody, you know, talks about being the new champion, ready for newcomers to come for that championship, we get The Rock's music hitting a surprise in Philadelphia. He comes out to his music, and the fans do not let this guy get a word in edgewise. They boo him every time he raises the microphone to his lips, and eventually he is trying to congratulate Cody for getting the job done, finishing his story despite the blood that was shed, the ass whoopings he took courtesy of himself and The Rock, that despite all odds, he walked out of WrestleMania, the undisputed WWE champion, and he was not here for the Philly crowd giving him the business. So he basically said this is the largest gathering of trailer park trash in history, in the history of Philly, and they gave themselves a standing ovation to mark themselves out. And then The Rock used some very colorful language that got bleeped by the USA Network censors. That was the theme of the night. The fans told The Rock to shut the fuck up at various points as well, called him an asshole. But he was very complimentary of Cody. He says that your story is ending with Roman, but our story is just beginning. Then it got a little awkward because The Rock has his People Championship given to him by the widow of Muhammad Ali at the Hall of Fame ceremony this past Friday night on Peacock. And he says, oh, I really like that championship around your shoulder, Cody. Can I hold it? And then Cody says, only if I get to hold your people's championship belt. Then they had a very awkward championship belt exchange that the fans chanted, this is awkward. Scott, your take on this part of the 45-minute opener to Monday Night Raw?
My first thought was, when I heard you can hold mine if I can hold yours, was pause, because that was crazy. Outside of that, I kind of liked what Rock was doing, you know, the idea, the concept. I think the concept was really good. You know, let me see that title real quick. I've never rocked with that title. Let me hold that. Let me see how it looks on me, so you can see how it looks on me, so you can get an image into your future. Like, that was the idea, the concept. You know, and instead we got the beginning of essentially a gay porn. So, I mean, that's essentially what it was. You can hold mine if I can hold yours. Your wife's not home, right? You know, that's essentially what Brandy's not home, right? That's essentially what I heard. Go get the belt. So that's where I was at. The concept was great. I thought the concept was really good of The Rock just, you know, acting all nice, giving him these compliments, and then taking the belt and holding the belt and putting it over his shoulder like that, just so he can see him holding his title. I thought that part was good. How we got there was just a major pause.
That was definitely a choice for sure. And he says, I like how it feels. It looks good on me. And like you said, it's a mirror.
Pause.
The wording was definitely a choice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, yeah, the wording was like, you can hold mine if I can hold yours. Oh, I like how it feels on my shoulder. What? What are we talking about, Dwayne? What are we talking about?
It feels good. You know, it feels right. You know, like this is meant to be, like this is a mirror into your future. So like, okay, I'm going to give it back to you now. And then they exchange belts back to each other. And, you know, The Rock tells the people, you know what? The Rock's got to go away for a while. It's got to go back to Hollywood and make this Hollywood coin. But I just want to let you know that when I come back, Cody, I am coming for you. And it's going to be you and me, because even though you beat my cousin in the main event of WrestleMania 24 hours earlier, I beat you in the ring 1, 2, 3. So our story is definitely unfinished business. Cody agrees. And then The Rock, in like the mystery theater moment of the hour, is going to go in his pocket. Now, Scott, I thought, honest to God, that when The Rock went in his pocket, he was going to like flip the bird and say, fuck you, and leave. But there was literally something in his pocket that he said, here, I'm going to give this to you. You already know what this is without looking at it. Don't you break my heart ever again. And he proceeds to leave. And Cody is going to keep whatever this is in his pocket. It's a secret for now. And it kind of reminds me of the notes Paul Heyman saved for Roman Reigns to say, you're going to need this for a rainy day. And 3 years later, Roman got those notes and became the tribal chief. That is my origin story in my head. But I do wonder, when the time is right, what the hell did The Rock give Cody that we cannot see just yet, as a segment finally comes to an end 45 minutes into the show?
I thought Rock was gonna pull out a shank and stab him. That's what I thought he was. That's what I thought. Or pull out a butterfly knife or something. I didn't know what he had in his pocket. You know, I was thinking maybe it was the Rolex. Maybe he took the Rolex and was like, "If you ever do it again, I'll smash this Rolex." That he got. That apparently they were talking about at WrestleMania that they found from his pops that he pawned to get him to wrestling. Something like that. I don't know, man. They got hype off the whisper thing that people got excited about. They're like, oh, let's hold hands and see if we can make them think we got something. They ain't got nothing. They don't know what they got. That's why The Rock said, I'll be back. Because we ain't going to find out until he come back. Think about all that time they got to think about what he got. All that time. They ain't slick. This is not no, y'all not slick. We know what the game is, man. But I have no idea what it could possibly be, especially with the don't break my heart again. I'm assuming that's him talking about the family. So maybe a Hall of Fame ring or something like that. I don't know. But we will find out around SummerSlam.
Definitely. I think we're going to revisit that when The Rock is free from his commitments. He's got like a movie to do, then a live action Moana.
A24.
Yes, he is busy. So hopefully he makes some time, you know, during SummerSlam, if he's available. But he says, I'll be back. And I did love the exchange about how The Rock says, I'm your boss, but Cody says, I'm your champion. I'm their champion and I'm your champion, by the way. So in fact, you got to acknowledge me as well. So I like that. I think The Rock proved that he can still go in the ring. He was very good in that main event at WrestleMania. He didn't get gassed up. He was in great condition. So I think that he and Cody, when the time comes, will have a very good match. Very interesting that this has been leapfrogged over the tribal chief and the final boss for now. Like The Rock says, oh, I see dollar signs with Cody. I'll go back to my cousin later. And I think that's great strategy. If he can get some matches going in the next couple of years, get that rust off, and then ultimately circle back to Roman, sound strategy. It will be probably the way to ultimately end his career on a high.
Yeah, and you know, he's doing great work. He'll get a great reaction. He'll pop a rating. And like you said, he looked good in the ring. Cody's the type of guy, his style fits what The Rock can do. They can work a real good match. Cody can create the movement. He's got the high impact moves that The Rock can take, to where, you know, Rock's more methodical offense will work really well when Cody starts to make that fiery baby face. So they'll have a good singles match. And after Cody beats him, I could see Roman coming back and just kind of looking down on him like, see, it ain't easy, huh? It ain't that easy, is it? So, yeah, this SummerSlam is going to be very interesting as far as Cody's direction and which one of these Samoan gods that he'll be facing off with.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Indeed, very much so. So looking forward to that as we wrap up the very first segment of Monday Night Raw that went a
first
whopping
hour.
Well, listen, we spent some time. Well, we had some time on the clock. It ended 45 minutes into the first hour. And then we went immediately into Shinsuke Nakamura versus NXT champion Ilya Dragunov. And he will be a part of the 2024 WWE draft later this month. So he is draft eligible, and I foresee him possibly being moved to Monday Night Raw if Gunther does not move, because that would be a match I would love to see on a big grand stage with a bunch of people. That is very possible. This was basically a showcase match for Ilya Dragunov to showcase how great he is. Just a morsel size for the Philly crowd, got the win via the H-bomb and Torpedo Moscow, as Shinsuke Nakamura just was there to take the hits at some moments here and there for the outcome. But Dragunov was never in doubt.
Yeah, this is one of those little things. This is how you showcase your champions and get people to tune into Tuesday nights. You know, you give them a big match. And Shinsuke's not somebody who has been losing to just anybody. Like, he wins the matches he's supposed to win, and he's losing to top guys. So this is a big match as far as, you know, a Monday Night Raw viewer who's not watching NXT. They're going to see that as, oh, he ran through Shinsuke. You know, and let's not forget, Shinsuke had two good matches with Seth Rollins, and he's been used really a good match with Sami Zayn. So he's been used as a way to elevate the top babyfaces. So this was a really good showcase. Dragunov's got just great offensive fire, and the crowd was completely with them. Great reaction, which absolutely always helps. So I look forward to whenever he is going to be drafted.
Yes, and under the Paul Levesque administration, he will be booked and protected for sure. We had this discussion about a year ago, and I said, yeah, he has a shot. If Triple H is going to be having full autonomy over creative, he has a shot. Now that is the case, he definitely has a shot to make it, because, you know, there's not going to be an issue of size and, you know, the accent. It's going to be him being over because of how great he is, and he'll get over because of that in due time. It worked for Gunther. It will work for Dragunov as well. So build that around them, and you got a bright future in WWE, no doubt about it. As we get to officially our second hour of Monday Night Raw, it was a Judgment Day celebration as we have a brand new World Heavyweight Champion. But first, we got Mommy introduced as she retained her championship against Becky Lynch. Rhea Ripley comes out to a great ovation as we get the introduction of the brand new World Heavyweight Champion, Damian Priest, looking extra sharp. New theme music, by the way, gets a pop from the crowd, and the crowd acknowledges Judgment Day. Now, I will say this. I saw this on Twitter earlier in the day, that despite the OG Judgment Day flopping because it was kind of dumb in terms of concept and execution, Edge did handpick Priest and Ripley, and look at them now. They're holding the two major singles championships on Monday Night Raw 2 years later.
Yeah, and, you know, this definitely keeps the group strong. I think Damian Priest has, I've said it. I called him the MVP when we were giving out our awards. I think he's been WWE's unsung hero all year. You think about the year he's had, he was the guy they had the match with Bad Bunny, you know, and the big match that everybody talks about, the intro. It was Damian Priest that he had that great match with. It's Damian Priest that they gave that Money in the Bank briefcase to and let him hold all this time. It's been Damian Priest who's been in all these main events. It was Damian Priest that got the singles match versus Cody Rhodes in Saudi Arabia. Not just anybody's getting a singles match versus Cody Rhodes on a PLE. That was Damian Priest carrying the tag division with the Judgment Day. That was Damian Priest. He's been doing this. He's been carrying, not carrying, he's been a essential cog in Monday Night Raw all year. All year he's been doing this. Like, he has been the guy, and now he gets an opportunity to get the keys. He's been in the car the whole time. He's been in the car the whole time waiting on somebody just to go to sleep so he could drive, and now he got his opportunity to take that wheel. And I think he's going to do great things, man. He looked the part. He felt the part when he was standing in the middle. Rhea has no question been the leader of Judgment Day, and Damian has been, you know, holding his own, definitely been a strong number two. When he was standing there by Rhea, you couldn't tell me who was running Judgment Day. And that's what you want out of your top guy, especially standing beside a superstar, a genuine superstar in Rhea Ripley. So I couldn't be happier for Damian Priest, especially after the year he's had.
Me too. I've been talking about this guy since his days on NXT 4 years ago, when he had the breakthrough by winning the North American Championship, and he had that rocky start on the main roster, that dumbass gimmick of "I am Damian and the Priest," that dumb crap he had to endure. And then Judgment Day comes along, had to workshop that, and look where he is right now. He was a workhorse all last year, as you said. It kind of reminded me of when The Shield ran Monday Night Raw and SmackDown back in 2013. Like, they were basically the central tag team, the central faction in WWE, and Judgment Day carried main events for Monday Night Raw throughout the entire summer, and Priest being a part of that was a big reason why. And you can kind of see that work being rewarded via his matches against Bad Bunny, against Cody, winning Mr. Money in the Bank, and now winning the championship at WrestleMania, and now being the face of this show now, because Cody presumably goes to SmackDown as WWE champion, and this guy is holding the most important championship on Monday Night Raw, and he's got a plethora of options to choose from for opponents. And Rhea and Damian, let's not sugarcoat it. At one point, there was a power struggle because she was making moves behind his back and he was questioning her leadership, and then she questioned him as well. But now they're both champions. They're both equal, and you kind of feel that respect of them calling themselves the Terra Twins. But then we got this funny moment when the Judgment Day was supposed to rise together, hold their championships up, and then R-Truth finds his way in the ring to raise his championship as well. Damian Priest says, "Hell no, we ain't doing this. I thought we were done." And then R-Truth says, "I have another member to possibly initiate into Judgment Day." The Miz comes out. We got like this fight in the ring. The Awesome Truth is getting jumped on. And then we get this 3-on-2 handicap match.
Well, hold on. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. Before you go there, let's not forget, R-Truth also said he challenged them to a 3-on-3 tag match.
Yes.
And said that his other partner was somebody you can't see.
That is right.
And everybody was like, well, you know, a good portion was like, "Oh, we're talking about Cena." And, you know, Mike was like, "You're not talking about little Jimmy, are you? Because he's not going to help us right now." JD's like, "Yeah, go ahead. We'll take that." So I'm sorry. I just wanted to put that out there to make sure they, for what was coming next. But yeah, he said that he had a partner you can't see that was going to team up with them to take them on 3-on-3.
Yes, he did. And then it became a 3-on-2 handicap match, and that invisible person was going to be a factor down the stretch. It was not little Jimmy. So let's just forget about what was happening. They was getting jumped on. Dom had his JD and Finn too. But it came down to this invisible person that R-Truth mentioned that I think the fans forgot about. Like, who is the third guy? And then John Cena's music hits. The payoff years in the making, because R-Truth for the last few years has said that John Cena is his childhood hero. How is that possible when they're, what, 5 or 6 years apart in age? I have no idea, but for some reason it is stuck, and his childhood no longer imaginary hero comes down, throws the hat in the crowd, takes off the shirt. He gets the hot tag from The Miz, his former arch nemesis. He's whooping ass. And then we have a triple 5-knuckle shuffle, 15 cents in the ring. Then we have a triple attitude adjustment for the win, as we had the embrace with Truth and Cena and Miz. This was a fun moment. And finally, after all of this time, R-Truth finally got to meet his childhood hero and got the payoff the night after WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's nothing like meeting your childhood hero that you're older than. on top of that, a couple things. We got to talk about why are people teaming up with Cena? Because he's always late. This dude didn't want to show up when they got beat down. He didn't want to show up at the beginning of the match. This glory hound waited to the end of the match and just came in and hit the 5 moves of doom. Bret Hart would have been real proud of that. Also, last night, this dude wanted to wait until after Cody got hit with the spike and the spear. Oh, let me see if he kicks out of that. Oh, he kicked out? All right. Let me run down there and help him out now. Hey, Cena, we got to work on your punctuality, dude. I done seen how you be doing in Total Divas. We seen how you was treating Nikki. We seen how you was doing Miss Garcia, all right? We seen how you was doing her. So we know punctuality is in your vocabulary, and you were built for that. I need you more punctual in this wrestling ring.
I'm getting Total Divas flashbacks. He was never late to a single date. He was not. He was on time. He was prompt.
Early.
He was punctual. He was disgustingly early sometimes. Mm-hmm. So he knows when to be on time. He was late at WrestleMania. He was late last night. But I tell you what's not late, Scott.
Here we go.
You know what I'm about to say, don't you? I didn't say it last night because, you know what? It was late. We was tired a little bit. But I got time tonight.
I got time.
It's straight up midnight on the East Coast. You know what's not escaping John Cena?
That hairline.
That hairline and that bald spot, because that thing is... Ooh, you talking about an eclipse right on his head.
Oh, that's tough. listen, this dude, you talking about that man hair. That man is getting ready for a role, okay? That dude is about to play somebody's dad in his next movie. So leave that man hair alone. He can't get the AJ Styles. So he said, let me get the Tanner. Let me get the Mr. Tanner look, all right? I can't get the AJ Styles. Let me go Mr. Tanner.
Danny Tanner, that's going to be his new life hairstyle now. Okay. But if he's going to do that, listen, that bald spot needs some help. I don't know if he needs some chia. I don't know what he needs.
Chia. What do you think some chia is going to do in the middle of his head?
Listen, you put some sprouts and you watch it grow. You get him under some sunlight and then boom, there you go.
So you would rather him go from. A true blood comb over to a old school fro.
Yes.
Courtesy
absolutely.
Of Will Ferrell.
Yes. Get some juice and roots in there. You'll be good to go. Just get that spot filled up. Now, I do have one more question for you, Scott, because I've been meaning to ask this question to you for 2 nights.
Oh, God.
But I was tired. You know, it's WrestleMania. It's after midnight. It's 1 a.m. when we're done recording. But we got some time tonight. So I noticed a particular sponsor for WrestleMania, you know, because they had sponsors for damn near every match. And I want to know, Scott, after watching WrestleMania and watching these matches, were you inspired to go to your local store and buy some dude wipes?
I can tell you who got that sponsorship. It was probably Dwayne The Rock Johnson when he's writing lines like, if you hold yours, I'll hold mine. Let me sponsored by Dude Wipes. No, I wasn't, but I noticed that. And, you know, get your money, you know, get your money. Men use them. I've used them, you know, better than toilet paper. I'll give you that. No doubt about it. I'm not one to really walk in with my fanny pack full of dude wipes, though. So it's not like it's something I really keep on hand like that. So I don't know if the sponsorship is going to make me go get some. Get your money. I'll hold yours if you hold mine. Brought to you by Dude Wipes.
They need to get you in the room. So I have a new marketing campaign.
Tagline right there.
Listen,
Dude Wipes.
The Rock is gonna.
And you play that after hours. After Raw goes off after 11 o'clock, before that real life Yellowstone comes on, you play the Dude Wipe ad.
Listen, I'm gonna try to help The Rock out, okay? Because he started this, okay? Let me hold mine. If I can hold yours, you know. So, what? I'm just saying. But
no, you're right. But big pause though. It's just a big pause. Just a crazy statement.
I let you hold mine if I can hold yours. But he got this new cosmetics line, Papa Tui. So if it don't work out, Rock, you need to merge with Dude Wipes. And then if you put Papa Tui and Dude Wipes together, that's going to be like a match made in heaven.
You could make wipes for women to wipe off their makeup, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, there's definitely a market there. So for sure.
Yes, yes. We spent way too much time talking about Dude Wipes, but I cannot let this weekend go by without mentioning that sponsor that came out of nowhere during WrestleMania 40 weekend. As we get to now, our next match, which was Indy Hartwell, the former NXT champion, women's last year, going up against the new NXT women's champion, Roxanne Perez. And this match was all right. The long story short of it all was Candice LeRae is on this heel streak trying to encourage Indy to cheat, but enemy is necessary and Indy doesn't want to do it. And so therefore, you know, Roxanne is not above cheating, rakes the eyes, his pop rocks for the victory. And Candice continues to be disappointed in Indy Hartwell, and that will lead to a split down the road, which I'm fine with. Candice LeRae being a heel, it's different. Try to get her over. She's so talented, but nothing she has really done thus far in the ring has resonated. So when that doesn't work, you got to go to the character to see what you can do. And she's got the mean streak to go there, but she needs to be heated up in order to pull that off in the long run. But an Indy Hartwell feud, I don't know.
Oh, I don't even think we're getting a feud. I think that's done. So she ran through her tomorrow night or on NXT. She's facing off against the twins and Natalya. So she'll run through her, and then you know, we'll see who she's got for her next defense. I am curious to see how soon it is until a Fallon Henley or a Sol Ruka get their opportunity, or if they're going to be in that North American mix. Because what top tier baby faces are there besides Fallon Henley? But yeah, I don't think her and Indy will be mixing it up anymore. She's got three people she's got to worry about on NXT tomorrow.
Yes, and also we got the NXT Women's North American Championship Tournament to consider as well. So that's going to possibly put some people aside. But Scott, don't think I didn't catch what you said. And
they were twinning.
They were twinning. They were out and they were
even
twinning.
Roxanne couldn't help but look.
She was like, wow.
Roxanne was like, can I get a platform or something? Cause like they were eye level. Like she couldn't do nothing but see them.
They were right there in plain sight. Speaking of on site,
here we go.
We had Rhea and Dominik walking backstage. And I'm glad that WWE did not forget that Liv Morgan despises Rhea Ripley. The chair went flying and dinged Rhea upside the head. And then Liv proceeded to whoop that ass in the hallway and then go after that injured wrist. Got the jump. It was on site like World Star Hip Hop. I was living for it. She got pulled away by officials. So I like the fact that right off the top, right after WrestleMania, it is Liv versus Rhea. I am here for the feud because great matches are incoming.
Yeah, and this would be a good one for Backlash. I think this would be a great first WrestleMania feud, like you said. And, you know, I'm all for Liv Morgan taking the title off of her. And I think the dynamic shift of Judgment Day of Rhea not having the title and Damian now having the title, I mean, that could create a story for months. So I think that's a very interesting dynamic that they can play with. And I, if they put that match on, I fully expect Liv to take the title.
Me too. I think that she's come in second for too long now. Back-to-back Warrior Rumbles came in second at Elimination Chamber back in February. So I think it's long overdue for Liv to get her lick back on Rhea Ripley, win the championship. And I think it's time. And as you said before, there is a power dynamic struggle in Judgment Day. Right now it's very even with Rhea and Damian being champions. But that could change if one of them lose the championship belt between now and possibly that show in Scotland in June. And it could be Rhea dropping her belt first. Could be Damian. You never know. But I do sense a power struggle coming up sometime this spring. But enjoyed the beatdown by Liv to Rhea. Reignites her rivalry post-WrestleMania season. Love that for them. As we get to the great camera shot, because I kind of jumped ahead. So before we got the Indy Hartwell match with Roxanne Perez, we got this crazy camera angle as Dom pushed the cameraman into the shot, which was sick. Love that steady shot back into the ringside area for that match. Perfection. Then we get brand new Intercontinental Champion Sami Zayn coming out. He's got his Yo Adrian shirt, but it's his wife's name instead because she was there for him during WrestleMania weekend. Gave him that encouragement to be Gunther to become the new IC champion. Cuts a great babyface promo. The fans love him. And then he wants to bring out somebody that really helped him win this championship, Chad Gable, but Imperium comes out instead via Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci. And then eventually Chad Gable comes out. We have an attack, leads to attack, two match, very good, goes a couple of segments, love the camera work throughout this match, and ultimately it comes down to the babyfaces getting the win and Sami Zayn vowing to give Chad Gable the first crack at his championship next Monday in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, Sami's home country. It is going to be a special atmosphere for what should be a very good, if not great, match next Monday night on Raw.
And an even better heel turn after Sami beats Chad and they hug and they hold each other's arms up and Sammy's celebrating and then Chad grabs him off the middle rope and hits him with a German suplex. I think it'll be great. And this was a nice segment. This was the third time we got a You Deserve It chant, third new champion in the ring to celebrate. Woo! Got to get a new chant. Got to change it up. You've earned it. You've earned it. Something. We're happy for you. Got to change it up. But this is good. Chad Gable coming out. Tag team match was fine. No Gunther. Let Gunther, you know, rest up, relax, chill. That dude probably cheesing at home with the wife. You know, he been on cloud nine. He like, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, guys. I'll take the night off. Trips, you need me? I'm good. I'll just stay home. I'm good. I worked hard. So Sammy, first feud will be Chad. He'll run through him next week. Then Chad will turn, and I think that'll be until – I think SummerSlam will be the culmination of that, and I could see Chad taking the title off of him.
Very possible, and I also predict a heel turn as well because sometimes hometown homecomings don't go well, and I think Chad is due for a heel turn, get that mean streak going. He has a reason to go off, so I expect the major twist next Monday in Montreal. Should be a great match before the ultimate turn by Chad if it goes the way we think it's going to go next Monday night. The next match we had was a match that we thought wasn't going to happen due to time constraints, but we did get it. It was Chelsea Green versus Jade Cargill. It was Boot, Jaded, The End. Jade stands tall, superstar that she is.
Not much to it. This is exactly what it should be. This is how she should be presented. She should just be mowing through people until she gets her first test. And essentially, she should get the build like Goldberg, Braun Strowman. You are retooling. This is a brand new audience. You just let her run through everybody in the lower. You can run through Chelsea Green 3 or 4 weeks and get 3 or 4 different type of reactions, matches, and Jade hitting the same move. And you can get a lot of mileage out of Chelsea Green and Jade Cargill. So I think this would be a perfect first feud for Jade, especially her coming in as a babyface.
For sure. Jade is over right now. The presentations, everything, the fans pop for her. Because if you are as a big time star, and Chelsea Green is one of the best character workers in WWE today, I adore her. And she knows exactly what she needs to do to get over. And that is getting her ass kicked right now by Jade Cargill. Hopefully for the next few weeks in a row because she was basically saying, can we cancel this match? I don't want it after all. I didn't know I was having this match against Jade, but all in all, it was a nice showcase match for Jade. Very thankful it did not get cut from the show. As we segue to our main event of Monday Night Raw, it was a fatal four-way match with the winner facing Damian Priest for the World Heavyweight Championship. Drew McIntyre came out first. He was very angry because for 5 minutes and some change at last night's WrestleMania, he was on top of the world as the new World Heavyweight Champion. And then he talked about how he and Seth Rollins were warriors. There was respect there. And Damian Priest tarnished that by cashing in the Money in the Bank briefcase because Drew's been cashing twice now and he hates it. But Scott, the one thing that put a smile on my face was when Drew McIntyre said the thing that we've all been saying for a long time, but he said it on live TV, that Damian Priest was serving Bondage Undertaker. He knows that Damian Priest holds the camera at not all no
more.
Times.
Not no more. Not no more. I told you that last night. That all changed last night. JD holds the camera now. And see, the good thing about the floating head is you can put it on top of the head. That thing just sit there. He ain't got to hold it. But yeah, he moved on from the holding camera. But that was absolutely the role that he was in beforehand. So, but yeah, Drew's been great on the mic. This is a great promo. Absolutely set up the finish of the main event. And also, one other thing, let's not forget that the Celtic Warrior is coming back soon, which is also a good sight because love his matches.
Yes, we got the Sheamus promo. He's returning. Dragunov, Sheamus.
That's a great one.
Possible.
That's honestly... That's one where if you don't have any like big time plans for either of them, I'd save that for Clash.
Oh, sure. For sure. Save that in the reserves for that show. Don't blow it on a random Monday Night Raw when nobody would care. It's got to get built up properly. And those two guys going to rip each other apart. International crowd in Scotland's going to love it. So let's go there. I'm here for it. So as Drew is salty, blaming CM Punk for his downfall, too. We have a fatal four-way match also involving Ricochet, Bronson Reed, and main event Jey Uso. The winner faces Damian Priest for a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship at a date to be determined. This is a really fun fatal four-way match. All four guys showed out. We had a bit too many commercial breaks for me because they were crunched for time, but it's picture in picture for the most part. A highlight for me was Ricochet doing a freaking... Shooting Star Press. Springboard 450 to Bronson Reed through the Spanish announce table. Sick.
Thing of beauty. And one little thing I do want to add on top of that before you continue is the little things I talked about that made this Raw feel different and kind of have been a theme. Everybody in this match won the night before or won on, you know, Friday Night SmackDown in Bronson Reed's case, run the Andre the Giant. So, you know, winning means something. You know, even Drew McIntyre, he won the match. He got cashed in on, but he won the match. Ricochet. So, like, he won the Monday Night Raw beforehand. Like, so these people are winning their matches. They're not just randomly thrown in there. Jey Uso won his match. So I love that little aspect of it that you had the four winners go in there for a shot at Damian Priest.
Made sense. Wins and losses should matter. Absolutely. And it was the winner's choice. Basically everybody won. Ricochet had the most wins heading into this match. He was on a streak. So he was very deserving of this spot. And he still has an opportunity to get something because he didn't get pinned. He took himself out by way of that 450 splash to Bronson Reed through the announce table. It was down to two guys. It was mobile via Drew McIntyre and Jey Uso, and Drew had the match won. He had Jay in position for the Claymore. And then like a whack-a-mole, CM Punk pops his head up, holds Drew's legs. He has this evil look on his face like, I got you again. And then Jay super kicks Drew McIntyre. He spears him, splashes him, and gets the W to become the number one contender for Damian Priest's World Heavyweight Championship. And Drew McIntyre fucked around and found out again. He's learning lessons, Scott, that when you run your mouth over and over and over again, you think that you won't get got. CM Punk has made that man's life miserable two nights in a row, and I am loving it.
Yeah, a lot to unpack here with the end of this match. CM Punk, the look on his face, the smile, the look of, yeah, I did that. Real proud of myself, too. Pat on the back. And, you know, the obsession that Drew McIntyre has with CM Punk, it's that match, whenever we get it, is going to be electric. SummerSlam, if we get the card that we could potentially get, you know, Cody Rock, CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, Roman Rollins, potentially. Like, if we get the card that we could potentially get, like, that SummerSlam could be loaded. But that Punk-Drew McIntyre match, this is how you build a match with a guy who's on the shelf, you know, who can't get active. And let's also remember CM Punk did not have his brace on also tonight, which I thought was very interesting. The match was great. I thought the Fatal 4-Way was great. Bronson Reed excels in these multi-man matches where he can just barge through people and be dominant. He was a part of a triple super kick spot. Then they double super kicked him. He's tossing people around. Drew McIntyre tried to pull him off the top. He jumping off the apron. The multi-man matches where he can bounce around and just pinball off people, he excels. And then the finish, the last two of Drew McIntyre and Jey Uso, you mentioned it. That is kind of essentially where the origin of this dark side Drew McIntyre has gone on started with Jey Uso. So and for him to lose to Jey Uso of all people, you know, somebody else in the bloodline, like, again, little things, like those little things matter. And now Jey Uso, arguably the most over babyface on Monday Night Raw outside of Cody Rhodes, is going to go to Damian Priest, who's going to get a huge victory over a big-time babyface. Like, all of this works, makes sense, and everybody gets something out of it. I just thought this main event was almost perfect in every sense of every master that it needed to serve.
And the little stories told in between, the subtleties in those stories being told, as you mentioned, Jay and Drew McIntyre's history, that drew hated Jay from the moment he arrived on Monday Night Raw. Like, how dare you, Cody, give this guy another chance after what he's done to me personally? And so for Jay to pin him by an assist courtesy of CM Punk, it makes Drew's life extra miserable. So I love it. Like, the storytelling is there. The subtleties of how they tell these stories are there. The follow through is everything. The camera work is exceptional. The match layout was great. Everybody had a chance to shine. The match was logically booked in terms of who needed to be in it and how it needed to end. And they are building for so many things over the next 3 to 4 PLEs. And it's so exciting to see this focus in the main event scene, that any one of these guys are viable and that the draft is going to benefit so many people, that it's not going to be like, oh, we're going to keep it the same old, same old. I do sense a seismic shakeup this year that's going to kind of adhere to the draft rules for the most part. And I think that we're seeing the groundwork for what should be a very special summer for WWE. We saw peaks of that last year, but with Paul Levesque fully in charge, you're not going to see a WrestleMania lull. They're moving full steam ahead. They want to stay hot. And this is the way to do it, via main events like this that are booked very strategically and smart, that gives people a reason to care for what happens next week and beyond.
Yeah, and like I said, another thing, I just think they've done a great job with CM Punk, keeping him relevant, not overexposing him, keeping him, you know, like tonight, that was a bit of a surprise, and keeping the feud going while still giving Drew McIntyre plenty to do while he waits for CM Punk to heal up. Like, I just love a lot of what they're doing right now. It's not perfect, but what they're doing right now is working really well, especially with the top tier stories. They've got stories in the middle. When you have when you had a champion like Gunther who makes the IC title important, now it makes everything that Sami Zayn's doing important and elevates Chad Gable, who's going to get that shot at the title. It makes that entire mid-card, it doesn't even feel mid-card now. It makes that just feel main event level. That can close out any show as well. So love what they got going on. Very excited for the future and the summer that they got. And I think this entire WrestleMania weekend, starting with SmackDown, has been a major success.
Really exceptional weekend for WWE, culminating via Monday Night Raw, the Raw after WrestleMania. Way better than last year's show.
Oh, yeah.
For sure, because that was a bit, what the fuck was that? That was a Vince McMahon production. We heard rumblings online throughout the show, like, he's got his hands in the cookie jar. This isn't looking good. And it was clearly a Vince production. This is Paul Levesque through and through. I really enjoyed this show. And for CM Punk, as you mentioned, no brace on the right arm. He talked to Ariel Helwani last Monday in that unforgettable MMA Hour interview. He says that basically WWE is protecting him from himself because it's not a very serious injury, but they're protecting him from further harm. So I as they should. So I think he could be very well be back in time for Clash at the Castle for some physicality with Drew. Not a match, but definitely a fight.
Yeah, and it's something we talked about. You know, I would hate for Drew to, you know, I'm kind of torn, right? Because part of me would love for Drew to get that moment. It's not quite the same as where he had it last, but for him to get that moment in his hometown that he didn't have with Roman and to get that title, because I do think he's going to get a run, and him it's versus CM Punk for the title is the match. Though, it don't need the title. You know, it definitely doesn't need the title. So, and that's what I mean by just having so much wealth and options and things you can do. Like, and this is just the men's side of things. Like, this is just the men's side of things. We ain't even talked about when Jade Cargill starts really mixing it up. We ain't even talked about what's next on tap for Naomi or what's next on tap for Bayley. You know, like, there's just... They're in a very good spot, and I'm a bit more optimistic than I would have been in the past. Like, in the past, I'd have been like, yeah, we're in a good spot now, a couple months, something, we're going to screw something up, and we'll be back to where we started. But I'm very optimistic at where we could be in 2 to 3 months come Clash or come SummerSlam. So, exciting times, man. I thoroughly enjoyed Monday Night Raw tonight.
Me too. And one thing of note, anybody that Aldis and Pierce signed should not be draft eligible.
No, I like that. I like that little line that Aldis threw in there. Man, I appreciate all that hard work you did of, you know, bringing them in. I appreciate that, because now all I got to do is just draft them.
That's cold. That is
love
cold.
Love it. That's how you're supposed. That's how it should be. That's how the GM should be to each other. It should be a grimy, dirty game. Thank you. Thank you, man. You did all that. Great contract. Let me get him. Let me snatch him up, number three. Love it. I love that. That was a great little touch.
We need to know how these decisions are made. He just can't snatch them up. We got to know, how are these decisions coming about? We'll see, because I have dream matches. I'm still wanting Tiffany and Bianca. I still need that in my life. I love to see Tiffany and Jade at one point as well. I would love to see Tiffany and Bayley. These are options for the summer. So I need some things to stay put to keep it real, but we'll see about it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the draft. That was grimy by Aldis. We need some rules set in stone. How do you make that decision? That's all I'm going to say. Lay out the draft rules. I need like a war room. I need to see what's going on, but we'll see how it goes next month, or later this month, I should say, for the 2024 WWE draft, going down night one on SmackDown and night two on Monday Night Raw towards the end of this month. And with that, after 1, 2, 3 live shows on YouTube in a row, it is now time for us to put a bow on this week's episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. I want to thank my co-captain, WrestleMania Scott. He's been down with me since day one-ish. All three shows, dude. it's in the books. We can rest. Our next live show won't be until a very long time from now. But I enjoyed running it back 3 days with you, recapping an unforgettable WrestleMania weekend.
No, as always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE with you. This was a blast to do this with you, to recap it every night, and to have three good shows to talk about. And you know, we've been doing this for a few years now, and this is another great one in the books. And essentially, this was day one of the new year in WWE. So I essentially call this day one, and I'm excited to see what the new season brings of WWE for the Wrap and us. But this was great, and we might be back next week. We'll see.
Oh, you trying to tease something? You want to go live every Monday? Are you just trying to throw that out there? He's like, no, we're not going to be doing that.
I mean, I get people excited. But, you know, if the people want it, I'm willing to do what the people want. So if the people want it live, I'll show up. You know, I have to get a haircut. I got a lot going on up here. But, yeah, yes. I'll show up live every week.
Get the shape up, get the beard back, you know, grow it back, you know, for the run back of the show. But if we're not live next week, obviously you can catch us every Monday on the free feed of Fight Game Media on your favorite podcast feeds. But I will say that we will most likely be back probably for an NXT PLE Battleground in June. They took it from Savannah and said, we're just going to throw it in Las Vegas at the Apex, right, for UFC. So that might be our next live show. But for all you know, we might come back post Monday Night Raw after the draft. That might be our next show, depending how it goes. So if you like what you hear and like what you see, we'll be back possibly earlier than you think. So until then, I hope that you guys enjoy the week ahead. We'll be back next Monday recapping NXT tomorrow night or tonight, wherever you are in the U.S. and around the world. And of course, covering SmackDown this Friday on Fox. No telling how the bloodline is going to be feeling after WrestleMania. And then we'll just chop it up and talk about it right here on the Fight Game Media Network, wherever you listen to your podcast. So enjoy the week ahead. For myself and for WrestleMania, Scott Young, that is a wrap for WrestleMania 40. Take care and bye-bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.